because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws, too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing. Right to self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous ones will not turn into guns. All the unions know is asking for. All the bodies made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tapping to the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day, wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. Or at least I'm coming to you live if you happen to be here at the home broadcasting platform. Show is actually live if you are here with me July 30th, 2019. Just a few moments after 8 p.m. Eastern time. I see Chief just snuck into the chat room. Chief, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. Hopefully we'll have a good show today. I say hopefully because I am scheduled to be joined by Evangelist Aveda King. I've been scheduled to be joined by Miss King on a few occasions in which she simply became unavailable at the last minute. I'm not a very high priority. I've come to accept that back, at least for the time being. Maybe someday that'll change. Maybe someday I'll be the higher priority over all those mean old TV people at Fox News and the like. Probably not, but maybe. In the meanwhile, for those of you who are listening, I certainly am expecting to have Miss King on, and we'll be discussing her work as an advisory board member now for the Women for Trump organization. And she's had a few things to say about the squad as of late, so we'll see if we can't touch on that, and who knows, maybe even the topic of, I don't know, Baltimore, Elijah Cummings, and maybe even the Reverend Al Sharpton may even come up during that time frame. We'll see where the conversation takes us. No promises, no guarantees, but we'll see if we can't get us there. In the meanwhile, I certainly hope that you guys are having a great time. I see that Heat Sinker has joined us in the chat room as well. Good to see you back in the chat room here, Heat. In and out. Not always here, but always happy when you are. Before we get into anything else, having an official announcement to make, we have added a new terrestrial radio station to the Tap Into the Truth broadcast family. They'll be rebroadcasting a two-hour time slot on Saturdays. It'll be on Saturday afternoons from 2 to 4 Pacific time. So it'll be a local thing. If you happen to live in and around the Kennewick, Washington area, you may want to try tuning in to KDIL 105.7 FM because that's where you'll find us. So we're up to four official stations now. Tend to think of KYAH 540 AM, Utah's Talk Authority, emanating out of Delta, Utah, as kind of the flagship station because they were first to take Tap Into the Truth to terrestrial radio, and very grateful for that. The programming director there has been very helpful and always offered great feedback, has gotten the kind of response that literally has Tap Into the Truth on there 7 days a week now. I'm on for 1 hour Monday through Friday in the mornings. Comes out to be 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern time. So it's a little early in the central time zone of Utah, but it's still early morning drive time Monday through Friday. After it was there a little better than 6 months, we ended up adding WXEI. 95.3 FM, the talk of Crestview, emanating out of Crestview, Florida. Only on Saturday afternoons there. Just recently, we've added WCET 101.7 FM, Columbia Talk, emanating out of Columbia, South Carolina. But there is something that all those places have in common. For conservative thought, they're not exactly enemy territory, if you will. Conservative talk in the particular markets that's in are well received. Not so much out in Washington State and Oregon. Now, what's funny about that, though, again, before I get into today's actual show, which I promise I'll get there here in a minute, but what's funny is that when I do a breakdown of states or cities, looking at the stats that I typically get from here at BTR and from over at Spreaker.com, and then also looking at iHeartRadio in particular, who has really, as far as podcast replays, just taking a commanding lead as of late. They kind of were battling out with Spotify there for a few months. Spotify listeners, you're letting yourselves get beat. iHeartRadio has taken a ridiculously large lead for plays for the podcast of the show, so it has been just something special. So thank you for all that. But what's interesting is when I look at the states, California is always in the top five. Always. There are times when my home state of Tennessee will drop out of the top five. California is always in the top five. But here in the last 6 months, looking at a city comparison over at Spreaker, there are two cities in Oregon, one city in Washington, and three cities in California that are in the top 10. So obviously there is a hunger, a thirst for conservative thought for some folks that are surrounded by people that just don't agree with them. So hopefully we'll be satisfied with that. Now, Chief is actually telling me that Kennewick is in central Washington, and it's a rather conservative area. So I guess I'm not entirely in enemy territory, but it's certainly the closest I've been. So, you know, maybe that'll be what puts us over the top as a far as making sure that we're a higher priority as we continue to expand the show, and kind of hoping to have a few more announcements of the like upcoming in the next couple of months at least. So we'll see what happens. So anyway, that's the part of the show where I toot my own horn, and now we will move on to stuff that matters, or at least stuff I want to talk about. I'd like to take a a moment to, a moment to remember Stephen Romero, Kylie Salazar, and Trevor Arabi. That was the 6-year-old, 13-year-old, and 25-year-old, respectively, who were killed at a food festival by a gunman who was using a rifle that is banned in California. 12 other people, of course, were injured, and the police ended up killing the gunman on site. A festival, an annual tradition. We should be remembering the lives of the individuals who lost theirs. We should be holding up the families of these lost individuals in prayer. We should be, as Americans, offering comfort to our friends and neighbors in the state of California. Politicians should be doing exactly what Donald J. Trump did, which was praise the police for quick action and offer condolences, offer thoughts and prayers. Now, I know, we've been told now the thoughts and prayers just aren't enough. Do not underestimate the power of positive energy that comes from thoughts and prayers. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. You are sadly miscalculating this life if you underestimate the power of prayer. We know a lot of our good friends on the left miscalculate a great deal when it comes to life. But as is always the case, some leftist politician has to immediately move to politicize. This is a tragedy. And the most tragic part of this is that people died because other politicians have a strange idea of what's the best way to protect their citizens. But when you see politicians immediately jump on a bandwagon about gun control, that's to be expected now, even though that should not be the case. We've seen time and time again with all of the most recent mass shootings, the immediate rush before the bodies are even cold. Politicians are on Twitter and in front of television cameras talking about, oh, too much. Too often, this must end, blah, blah, blah. They have no answers, no solutions. Most of these events take place in gun-free zones. So we know how well these laws will work. The rifle itself was banned in California. It didn't stop this guy from legally acquiring the rifle. But that's part of what's so irritating when we see California Governor Gavin Newsom pointing the finger specifically at President Donald J. Trump and, of course, other Republican lawmakers. Because this shooting in Gilroy, California, well, it's obviously the fault of the man who kicks puppies and eats babies, the man who is orange and is bad, obviously the man who is racist for using the word infestation when he's talking about infestations. Yes, yes, it's obviously his fault that this very angry young man essentially decided to injure people and unfortunately kill three in an effort to basically just commit suicide because he knew what the end result was going to be. Gavin Newsom didn't just point fingers, though. He went on a rant. Some of that rant I cannot repeat because this will be broadcast on terrestrial radio because FCC rules permit me from using the full language that this individual used, this shining example of leadership according to the Democrats of the state of California. Now, his choice to use profanity is not what I find most offensive, however. Now, unfortunately, we live in a time where profanity is pretty much wherever we go. It's on network television. It's in every movie and so on and so forth. I've never been particularly sensitive to profanity in the first place myself. That's just me personally. I don't particularly like using it except in certain situations, most often for a humorous effect as opposed to anything else, even though I freely admit it's very low. It's very low humor, but sometimes that's just what's funny in the moment. I don't make a habit of using profanity in my personal life, but I'm not particularly sensitive to it. I don't care if someone else uses it, except in certain circumstances. I do believe that there are gatherings in which it is wholly and completely inappropriate, but that's not what I find upsetting here. Let me try to read to you right now the biggest part of his rant. Quoting Newsom, "You have the right to bear arms, but not weapons of GD mass destruction." Of course, he didn't abbreviate. "You need these things for hunting? Give me a break." I'm going to stop right there for a second. I'm going to remind Mr. Newsom, along with any leftist who might be listening, that the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's never been about hunting. It was written at a point in time where a group of farmers, with a little help from the French, managed to miraculously, through the grace of God, through a miracle no less, defeat a world power, perhaps the greatest world power at that time. It was never about hunting. The thought they would have to write something about guns for hunting never occurred to them because they knew who lived in the United States of America at that point in time, even though it wasn't the United States of America just yet. They knew. So he says, "You need these damn things for hunting." Yeah, he said that. I can say that with the FCC. I can't quite go GD. I don't want to anyway. Isn't it funny how there's certain profanity that even though you're okay with some, there's others you just for whatever reason, you just don't want to do. Anyway, he says, "You need these damn things for hunting? Give me a break." Governor Newsom, give me a break. You know darn well that the Second Amendment was never about hunting. Of course, Newsom went on to blame the tragedy on a culture of gun violence. Now, we've heard that from the left a multitude of times. Sadly, they refuse to acknowledge that that culture of gun violence most often shows its ugly, nasty head on people that tend to vote for their side. Conservatives who own guns tend to be responsible gun owners, law-abiding gun owners, many of whom actually do use the majority of the firearms they own for hunting as opposed to much else, although there's plenty of sports shooters and target practice and some folks that prepare for self-defense. Very rarely do we utilize these weapons in a violent fashion unless you happen to be one of these tree-hugging PETA folks, and then you're all like, "Oh, I can't believe you just shot Bambi." Now, Newsom blamed the tragedy on the culture of gun violence, and then he said that this culture of gun violence is perpetuated by Trump and the Republican Party. He continued, back to quoting now, "It's just sickening. the leadership today that just turns a blind eye and won't do a damn thing to address these issues? What's GD absent in this country right now is moral authority. You know what? I'll agree with Newsom about that. There is a lack of moral authority. And again, sadly, he fails to recognize the almost obscene absurdity that he thinks his side has the moral authority, the side that can't figure out that there is a biological difference between men and women, the side that can't figure out that climate change, while it exists, is a natural and normal function of the planet, and there is no scientific link that proves conclusively man is significantly changing the rate of climate change anywhere at any point. Oh, no, no. I'm a science denier for saying that, even though they still refuse to acknowledge simple biology. The side that will defend to their core the idea that the death penalty for murderers and rapists should not exist, but in the same breath will say that a woman has the right to murder an unborn child in their womb simply for a matter of convenience. Yes, that's some real moral authority, Governor Newsom. Newsom went on to accuse the White House of hindering California's efforts to establish stricter gun laws. The gun used in Sunday's shooting was legally purchased in Nevada and was described as the local police as an assault-type rifle. Although it doesn't take much to be considered an assault-type rifle, especially in the state of California, now does it? Newsom again quoting, California is doing its part, but Jesus, these guys, the folks in the White House have been supporting the kinds of policies that roll back the work that we're doing. It keeps happening over and over and over again on their damned watch. Now, just for the record, Governor Newsom, they are doing their part to roll back the work that you're doing, because the work that you're doing is unconstitutional. The work that you're doing is abridging every citizen's right to own a firearm, every citizen's right to own and bear arms. We have that constitutional right, and it specifically states there at number two that Congress has no right to pass a law that would abridge that right. Guess what? They didn't intend for states or even for towns and cities to have ordinance power to abridge that right either. However, the Federalist argument aside, whatever power, whatever authority they have to prevent you from grabbing more power than you have limits you, then it must be unconstitutional in order for them to be able to limit you, or you only have Democrats to blame. Because it's the Democrats, more often than not, that have pushed for extra constitutional authority for the federal government. So, yes, congratulations. On their watch, they're trying to maintain basic, fundamental, guaranteed constitutionally rights for the people not only of every other state, but also your own. Now, Gilroy Police Chief Scott Smithy credited his officers for their quick response and ability to take the gunman down. Quote, despite the fact that they were outgunned with their handguns against a rifle. Isn't that why you train? Being outgunned isn't actually being outgunned if you are better with the firearm you have. That is the The other argument that we almost never hear, but should be one of the highest arguments of why your magazine capacity laws really don't matter. Someone who is practiced and who is calm, who is trained, and particularly who is tactical, has the ability to handle their business. Your officers are supposed to be trained with their firearms. It's not likely that this young, angry man was nearly as proficient with his rifle as your officers are supposed to be with their handguns. So were you really outgunned, or was this just you piling on with all the other Democrats in California to try and make claims that we should disarm the citizenry? Now, Smithy went on to say, we had thousands of people there in a very small area. It could have gotten so much worse so fast. Well, that's true. I'm really proud that they got there as quickly as they did. There absolutely would have been more bloodshed. Well, yeah. Let's have emotion and righteous indignation while we're in the process of stating the obvious. Yeah, this guy was on a killing spree. That's what he wanted to do. He was over the top, and he was angry, and I'm guessing probably angry because of you, or at least the policies that you and your ilk have moved forward. Chances are, or from the hatred that you guys spew constantly, trying to convince every last human being that the only good Republican is a dead Republican, that the only good conservative is a conservative that silenced and browbeat into admitting that the leftists are right, and that the only Donald Trump that is good is the one in their imagination from back before he went on television, when he used to give lots of money to Democrats. But since then, no, orange man bad. Come on, guys. The shooting is no more Donald J. Trump's fault than it's my fault. It's no more Donald Trump's fault than it is Chief's fault hanging out in the chat room, or even Annie, who is here. Thank you for joining us, by the way, Annie. And Bigfoot, of course, has joined us as well. It's ridiculous to hear people make these assertions, but it's even more ridiculous when you're talking about someone who's been elevated to the level of the governorship of one of the largest states in our nation, a state that actually has a fair number of conservatives in it. But hey, sorry, thanks to gerrymandering, your votes just simply don't count enough to sway. Your votes don't count enough to take control of your state like you need to. It's just absurd. Oh, but, you know, points to Newsom for being authentic, because that's what all that profanity was about. He's so busy being authentic, he's hoping you don't take 10 seconds to think about the crap he just said. All right, so here's what we're going to do now, boys and girls. It's about that halfway point. So what do you say we do the Edwards Notebook, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day? We'll probably do a notebook sandwich. I got two new ones today from Ron. We'll get that started. And on the other side, if all goes as planned, Evangelist Aveda King. So stay with me, guys. I'll be right back.
Did Mayor de Blasio sell out the citizens of New York City and that city's police force? Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. New York Mayor de Blasio is on a mad mission to destroy the greatest city in the world, New York City. It's bad enough that homies from Harlem and some brainless Brooklynites were allowed to assault police officers who don't have permission to go hard after physical offenders. And to add insult to injury, New York City residents are under assault by criminals emboldened by Mayor de Blasio preventing police officers from doing their jobs in order to appease certain people who prefer law-abiding citizens to be threatened instead of thugs who should be thwarted. Even more insulting are Muslims patrolling streets in cars that look exactly like NYPD patrol cars. The Muslim community patrols have raised concerns among many New Yorkers who have decried the Muslim Patrol as similar to Sharia police. Why so-called community Muslim patrols are even allowed in the greatest city in the world is beyond me. Wake up, America, and join me Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us. I'm Ron Edwards.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you for staying with me through that break. We only have about 10 minutes, so we're going to jump right in here. So welcome, Miss Aveda King, evangelist and currently working hard as one of the advisory board for the Women for Trump. Ms. King, I definitely want to start with your work with the advisory board because, you know, if we were to only listen to the folks on the left, we would imagine that women just hate Donald Trump. But there's a whole organization that doesn't, right?
There are so many of us that we're adding to it every day, and we're just very grateful to support President Trump, his wife, Melania, First Lady Trump, his family, and it's just an honor to do that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, what is phenomenal at this point is the constant battle that we're seeing, though. And you know, you're one of the people that were early on a strong supporter of the Trump administration. You've been there helping to guide the agenda a little bit. You've helped to bring a level of godliness to the organization and to the administration as well. And I would just love to get you to, especially given both the squad attacks and now the more recent attacks in regards to the attempt to malign Trump's statements about the Baltimore area as far as using the word infestation being code for racism. You've talked to Donald Trump. You've met with him several times. You've been there. Have you seen anything that would even give you the slightest inclination that Donald Trump is racist or doesn't care as much for all Americans as any particular group?
Well, when we look at the concept, the term racism, that means that we have to believe that there are separate races of people, of human beings, when it's very clear, Acts 17:26 says, of one blood God made all people. And so we are a one human race with different ethnicities. Now, my first clue to the truth that President Donald John Trump is not a racist is when he said, we all bleed the same. I said, he gets it. We're one human race. He totally gets that. Now, that he said that in his inauguration speech, but he had also said similar things all the time when he was a candidate. They said, well, what are you going to do about racism? He says, everybody needs safety, security, a place to live, food, and, you know, pleasant relationships with their family. So that's what I'm going to do. So in other words, he was saying, I see America and I see Americans. And then that even spilled over to he never said that he did not want immigrants in America. He just said he wanted those to be here legally. So these are things that if you really listen to him and if you watch the type of executive orders he writes, the kind of legislation he supports, he doesn't hate ethnic groups. He does not hate women. He certainly, and it's for them to say, well, he's anti-Semitic. He doesn't like Jews. I said, people, do you realize his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is a Jew? And he and Ivanka, their children are Jewish, you know? I said, really? Come on now. so I just, there was so much about his personality that really tells you why he's not a racist.
Yes. Well, yeah, it does seem like whenever you point these things out individually, there's just this refusal to acknowledge it by the political operatives. Now, it's understandable. Politics is politics. But such a personal level attack, and we see this. Donald Trump is being held to a standard that no previous politician has been held to, and all he's really tried to do is what he sees is best for America, but he's also been willing to call out any type of hypocrisy that he sees. When he sees it, he punches back. And I think what makes a stronger statement that he's not racist is I don't see any signs of that soft racism of lowered expectations. He expects everybody to be able to stand up on what they say equally and that everybody be treated the same in a fair fashion.
To give the equal opportunities for them to do that, like with the historically black colleges and universities, quite a bit of funding has been extended to them. No other president has done that. They promised it but didn't do it. He got it done. With prison, criminal justice reform, getting prisoners out and reuniting them with their family and their communities, many of those are black. Even in the instance of abortion, because blacks are more heavily impacted by abortion than anybody else, and he's a champion for life of the children in the womb. And we could go in the economy. That's not been such a strong economy with the jobs and things like that. And it's probably the highest. I'm 68 years old, and I can't remember one that's been higher for the black community. So we could really go on and on. There are many, many more successes, and they're happening every day. I saw one today that he had signed. Gosh, I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at it. But he has done so many beautiful executive orders. He has given us the first park. National Park in honor of a black man. Martin Luther King Jr. Park, historic park, is a real park in Atlanta, Georgia. So 400 years of African-American experience here in America. So there are just so many things that we could go on. But he's done the same types of things for women, for children, for the veterans. It goes on for working class and middle class America, bringing the businesses back to America for the wealthy, who said, well, we can't survive here with all these tariffs and heavy burdens, we'll leave. And he has brought them back. He's opened up steel mills. So, I mean, there's just so much he's doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just keep coming back to a single thought. Now, he's had a past, and you can point to these things, but since he's taken office, if Donald Trump is a white supremacist, if Donald Trump is pushing policies that are misogynistic, he's just not very good at it.
But he certainly, that would be true, and he really isn't. So he just says, you know, America first, America great again, now keep America great. And that's his thinking. And I think Reverend Al Sharpton said something about he has a hatred for being around black people and police or something like that. He said in the room with us, all that time, talking, listening, fully engaged. It was amazing. It's not the first time he's done it. I've been at other meetings with him. So it's not, and none of that was for a photo op. It just really wasn't. Right. We were working.
All right, Ms. King, I know you need to go, and I'm sorry because I would have loved to extend the conversation further because I definitely like getting your point of view here because, like you said, you've been in the room. You've had these conversations. But before we let you go, real quick, give us your thought on the behavior of the so-called squad, and then please share what is going on with Trump for Women and then any websites you'd like to share before we say goodbye.
Okay, well, the squad, the analogy I gave, I happened to have been reading the Bible when I wrote about the young ladies, the young women. So there was a queen, Queen Jezebel in the Bible was married to King Ahab, and he was kind of whining and moaning and complaining because he wanted to take some property from one of their citizens, and he couldn't get it. The man said no, so his wife Jezebel said, leave it to me. So she went and had the man killed and then brought the deed to her husband. So I was thinking that the same thing with these ladies. They don't like the Constitution of America. They don't like America. They want to take everything away from us, and then they want it, you know. And I said, no, that's kind of like Jezebel. That's not a good way to be. And so that's the way I was watching that. And then to pretend to, well, we're women of color. Well, everybody's colored. Nobody looks like a white piece of paper or a piece of ebony wood without the beautiful blues and magentas or peach and hue tones and all those kind of things in our skin. And so for them to act as though they've had the African-American experience when they haven't. So I'm just thinking that we want them to kind of come clean. Women for Trump, we are speaking out on behalf of all of his policies, the women in his life, his wife, Melania, with B-Bet. Ivanka works very closely with the women's issue, his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, and many, many women. I'm just a part of it. Diamond and Silk, I'm there. Stacey Dash, those are some of the African-American faces. So we are just delighted to serve America, coming alongside our president, President Donald John Trump. You can reach me at civilrightsfortheunborn.org. That's at Priest, Priest for Life. And my ministry is alvitaking.com.
All right. Again, thank you so much for your time tonight, Ms. King. And I certainly hope we get an opportunity to speak again, and maybe a time where you're not quite so pressed so we can really delve into some of these things. So thank you so much. God bless and keep up the great work.
God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity. Good night.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the evangelist, Ms. Evetta King, of course, niece to Martin Luther King Jr., and a relatively familiar face if you watch Fox News, if you have been paying attention to Women for Trump meetings, if you, if you're even the least bit interested in what's going on with the evangelical community, chances are you have seen Ms. King active in one fashion or another. And I really, really do appreciate her spending some time. She told me when I called that it had been one of those days. So certainly understanding that, didn't want to keep her any longer than she wanted to stay. But I would have loved to continue the conversation, because there is nothing like getting the skinny, if you will, on folks who have been in the room during these working meetings where there's not cameras, where there's not photo ops going on, and where you're actually down to the brass tacks and you get to see the Donald Trump that is behind the scenes. And that's something she's had the honor of doing, and those are the folks I really like talking to when Trump is the topic. She did happen to mention the so-called reverend, the MSNBC host, the grand race baiter, the race hustler, Al Sharpton. She just mentioned him by name. She didn't say any of those things, but I am saying those things. He couldn't help but interject himself with this fake controversy that exploded when Donald Trump called out Elijah Cummings. Now, I think it's important that we be honest about what Elijah Cummings' role in his home district is. It's up to the city, and it's up to the county officials to take care of the type of issues that Donald Trump was pointing out. But if you are a national level elected official from that district and your home district is suffering the kind of things that his home district is suffering, it would not hurt to spend a little more time in your district, and it would not hurt to get a better idea of what's happening there, and maybe even refocus your efforts. Truth of the matter is, as we mentioned on Sunday's show, Elijah Cummings simply spouted off talking points. He jumped right on with Democratic talking points that are out there, that have been put forward by the squad, that have been put forward by others in the Democratic Party. He was talking about the conditions in the detention centers, and he repeated the lie that children are being forced to simply sit in their own feces. That there is no effort being made by Border Patrol services to try and take care of these people, when in fact the only reason they exist is to try and take care of the people that are crossing the border illegally in a fashion that is both humane and in accordance with United States immigration law. That's their job. Most of these people would not do the job if they didn't care. They just joined one of these crazy militias out here that actually most of them, sadly, are the ones actually doing the real job of Border Patrol and trying to keep people from crossing. Now, a lot of them cross the lines as far as what's legal, and that's why I used the reference that I did. But Elijah Cummings made this statement, and the most obnoxious part of it is the fact that Cummings has not been to the southern border since before Barack Hussein Allahu Akbar Obama became the occupier of the White House. Okay? So he has no idea. He just repeated a talking point. But he's a little high up on certain committees. He's kind of important for as long as the Democrats control the House. So Elijah put himself smack dab in the middle of Donald J. Trump's crosshairs. And we know if Donald Trump is going to do one thing, it's going to be to hit you back, especially if you're lying about the policies. I think the media and every Democrat that jumped on this showed their own veiled racism, because they were so busy reading between the lines, they didn't pay attention to what he's actually said. And the best part of the whole nine to me is the fact that I have yet to hear the first person actually deny the truth of the statement. They just want to fixate on the word choice and the predicted pattern. Donald Trump has a pattern of attacking people of color. You know what? Donald Trump has a pattern of attacking anybody that either A, attacks him first, or B, lies about his intentions. He does that regardless. Nancy Pelosi's been on the other end of that. Chuck Schumer's been on the other. Hell, Joe and Micah from Morning Joe were on the other end of that. They're just about as white as you can get, y'all. Color is not the issue. But he expects that if you either have the cojones to attack him, that you're ready for the street fight, or if you're just wrong, that you can stand on the merit of your argument and take your lumps as long as you're willing to do it. And it shouldn't matter what color you are, or what religion you claim, or whatever else you may have as your desire to be put in a special little box with that lovely little tag and manage to keep yourself separate from the rest of America. Put whatever you want in front of that hyphen, because you're a hyphenated American. If you're one of those people, well, then guess what? He doesn't extend to you the soft racism of lowered expectations. He figures you should be able to stand up and take it the same as a white person should. That's not racism. It's the opposite of racism. That pattern you're talking about, it's a pattern that actually shows he's a fighter and he's not afraid of what you may call him, what you may say about him, because he's prepared to stand by what he says, even when he's wrong. And yes, sometimes Donald Trump is wrong. Sometimes Donald Trump is bad Trump. Sometimes he is. When he is, I'll call him out right here. I've got – that's my pattern. That's the track. If I think that he's done something wrong, or if I'm unhappy with something, like the fact that this is a ridiculous excuse for a budget that's coming headlong and is going to be signed, yeah, I've got a problem with the budget. I would like to see some level of fiscal responsibility, fiscal conservatism, some type of fiscal accountability. Our federal government is supposed to be a good steward of American taxpayer dollars. this is anything but, and the excuse that it was necessary in order to continue to get the funds to our military, maybe they believe that, or maybe that's just the talking point, but either way, it's still a bad deal for the American public. Because here's the thing, Donald Trump has the economy going in the right direction. Yes, he does, but the economy can only continue to go in the right direction for so long based on the economic indicators and the movement that he has done with reducing corporate taxes. But eventually that gets maximized. And then for the economy to continue to grow strong, we have got to get government spending under control so that we can start reducing all taxes across the board, so that we, the people, get to spend our money as we choose, as we decide. And that is what keeps the economy booming. Now, I know everybody hanging out in the chat room right now, that, of course, being Bigfoot, Heatseeker, Kel, who joined us. Hey, Kel, glad you made it. Chief and Annie Ubellis, the radio chick, host of Southern Sense Talk Radio. Everybody in there, I don't have to explain this to. If you're listening at KYAH or WXEI or WCET or KDIL, regardless of where you may be listening to, if you're listening at iHeartRadio right now, if you're listening at Spotify, or if you're just hanging out in the archives at BTR and you're listening to this, hopefully I don't have to explain that to you. Hopefully this is redundant. But just in case, don't take my word for it. Check it out. But it is utterly ridiculous. These people are so used to talking in code, they're so busy trying to read between the lines that they haven't even figured out what the man actually said. Now, maybe he shouldn't have been as redundant when he said rats and rodents. However, I kind of got the impression that it was an intentional double entendre. The infestation isn't code for people of color. The rats is code for bad politicians. Chief in the chat room says, could you explain that again? Is it too bright? I'm going to call BS on that, Chief, and I'm going to move right along. But thanks for playing. We have some lovely parting guests for you. love these guys in the chat room. While I have a few moments left, again, let me once again welcome to the terrestrial broadcast family, official as of this week, KDIL 105.7 FM in Kennewick, Washington. Of course, the show is only going to be on Saturdays there, Saturday afternoon, 2 to 4 local time. So that's Pacific for those of you in the area, or, you know, I guess if you're in the area, you already know that. I don't have to explain it. But if you're not in the area, that's where they're at. So welcome, first official terrestrial station in the great state of Washington. Now, don't really have much time to get into too many other things right now, so I very, very much would like to once again offer you guys a big thank you for joining us. And I definitely want to thank the evangelist, Miss Aveda King. Great insight that she had. Let me give the roll call down one more time, and then we'll probably cut out just a few minutes early, although I may go ahead and do the extra Edwards notebook that I didn't do earlier. We got Bigfoot hanging out with us. If you are not already checking out Bigfoot's blogs, how many more times can I tell you? Now, if you are somebody listening new in the new radio station, maybe you haven't heard. But you guys, trust me, blogger extraordinaire. I do not use the term lightly. Check out his work at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. We've got Heatseeker in here. Sometimes Heat is in the chat room with us, sometimes not, but it's always a blast when Heat is here. We have Kel Fritzy, the Red of the Right, the Infidel, your email warned you about, host of not one but two great shows right here at the home broadcasting platform of blogtalkradio.com, as well as occasional guest hosts for a few other shows as she filled in Sunday over at Radio Free Kafiristan, which is part of the Global Patriot Radio Network. Not to mention the fact that she's also right here with us for the live broadcast for Sunday of the month, bringing us all the news that is fit to discuss from Canada. She's our Canadian correspondent, if you will. But you can check her shows out. Red Fox Blogger Radio can be found right here at BTR twice a week on Mondays and then again on Thursdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, Infidels Are Watching, which is part of the Global Patriot Radio Network as well, on Tuesday nights live from 6 until 8 most of the time. And yes, Cal, it would be this coming Sunday, as long as you can. Now, if something comes up, though, where you can't for some reason, just let me know. I certainly understand, but I am certainly looking forward to speaking with you, Cal, this upcoming Sunday. I hope everybody will tune in for that. All right. We also have Chief, who is a host here as well. He's got a great show called Simple Facts of Life, and he does a phenomenal job. He's on for just 30 minutes a day. You can find it live on Wednesdays from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern. He does a great job of taking a story or two that may be current, and he ties it back around to a simple fact of life, hence the name of the show, and he does a great job of it. And he joins us every third Sunday of the month. Or we have just general conversations. And then after that, we have Annie, the radio chick, Ubellus, number 16 on Top Talker right now. And certainly one of the best conservative talk show hosts out there, period. End of discussion. She's a top-tier host, y'all. Top tier. She is up there with the Rushes and the Hannitys and the Levins. And if you doubt me, I dare you to go check it out and then come back and tell me otherwise. I dare you. Now, Annie does her show. It's called Southern Sense Talk Radio. Best way to find her is to just go to southern-sense.com. And from there, you can find your preferred method to listen. Now, the great thing about all these shows is while you can find them and you can get 3 hours of Southern Sense Talk Radio live right here at BTR and at SHR Media, you can listen live there as well. You also can go into the archives, but she does one show a week now, 3 hours on Fridays. And Annie right now is sharing in the chat room talking about how there's going to be a whole slew of DOJ documents that are going to be released. It's going to blow up the FBI and the JOD under Obama. So that's something for us to look forward to. See there? Now, just going through that, I managed to chew up almost 4 minutes. And I meant every single word of it. Also, if you do decide to come here for the live show so you can hang out in the chat rooms, go ahead and check out folks like Don Smith. Typically, you can find Don on from noon until 2 on Saturdays. That's also Eastern time. You'll find I'm doing a lot of Eastern time stuff. But in the meanwhile, I would very much like for you to, not take my word for it. So don't take my word for it, but definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort and, more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it for now. Those of you who do join me live, come back tomorrow. We'll be on Wednesdays from 7 to 9. I don't have a guest scheduled, but if Annie or Kel or Chief wants to call in, maybe they will. Maybe we'll converse then. In the meanwhile, though, that's going to be it for now. I am out. Thanks for being here so much. And this is from Matt Fitzgibbons. Check out patriotmusic.com if you get the opportunity. And I am out of here for now. Love you guys. Was the world.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. It gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.